Welcome back. This is the Daily Thunder Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Woods. It is 12:45 a.m. Eastern, and I'm here with Daily Thunder beat writer Brandon Rabar. Brandon, how are you, man?
I'm good. It's still yesterday where I'm at. I'm central.
I'm living in the future.
Yeah.
I'll let you know what happens. So, interesting night all around the NBA, but the Thunder were kind of in the mix for all of it. So the day started with a bit of a surprise. Justin Jackson gets waived by Oklahoma City. And very soon after that, Oklahoma City announces they've signed Jalen Horde to a two-way deal that he'll be with the team for the rest of the year. And then minutes later, it seemed like they signed Justin Robinson to a 10-day contract. So two new young guys to get a look at for the rest of the year. So just your initial thoughts on the Justin Jackson decision.
I honestly wasn't surprised. I just for Daily Thunder wrote a future power rankings, like, you know, looking at the long-term prospects of each player on the roster. And I actually had Justin Jackson all the way down at number 18. There's not even 18 players on the roster, but the only people I had, there's a couple surprises, but the only people I had below him were Al Horford, who Woj has already said is going to be traded. Mm-hmm. He tweeted that out. And then Darius Miller, who's 31 years old and on an expiring contract. Justin Jackson, his reputation was he was young and he was a shooter, and he's 26 and he's shooting worse than Russell Westbrook from 3-point range. He seems like a nice guy. And, you know, he had a couple nice games, maybe unfortunately for the Thunder, it was a good memory and fun at the time, but that dagger against the Bucks, and, you know, he was the leading scorer against the Bucks too. And that surprise win without SGA, that ends up costing the Thunder a top five pick later on, could eventually hurt. Maybe that's why he was cut.
Maybe.
But I think it's one of those deals. He wasn't in the Thunder's long-term plans, and maybe there is, you know, some interest from other teams in picking mm-hmm. him up. So kind of a mutual interest type thing from the Thunder and from Justin Jackson.
So both new guys, and I have to say, I've never seen this before. There were times where I was so pumped about, like, I'll be honest, I was someone who was incredibly excited about Randy Foy. And so moves like that, it's like, oh, awesome. But we're not going to see this guy for 4 days, and now we're shorthanded because it's got to be made official, and he's got to go through physical or whatever. Nope, not today. We got both of these guys in the game. They combined for 55 minutes, 22 for Horde and 23, almost 24 for Justin Robinson. And they did their job. Oklahoma City drops the game tonight, 132 to 108 to the Detroit Pistons. This was a very important game, as they all are at this point. And I tweeted before the game, this feels like a 4 or 5 point Thunder win on deck. And I had forgotten that we had not one, not two, but three revenge games tonight for Jeremy Grant, Diallo, and Frank Jackson. So was honestly very pleased with just getting all these young guys minutes, Oklahoma City dropping the game, some more really exciting stuff from Poku. Like, every time he gets the ball, it is so exciting. And Svi continues to shoot the ball well. Like, he does a great job on the defensive end. Like, he's way more, like, effective on that end than I thought he was going to be. Quality, like, rotation guy, got some steals. Let's see, he had 4 steals tonight. I think he opened the game with one of the first couple possessions. He was he was in the passing lanes for one. So I like the way he plays a lot. Maladon continues to play solid, and he's getting great minutes, and he's getting to play with this version of the Thunder starter. So love to see that. And Poku led the team with 19, and then Svi had 17. I think he had like 12 or something like that at halftime. So he had a good first half. They got 10 from Ty Jerome. He, talk about a guy who doesn't get the assists that he potentially could, is Ty Jerome. He moves the ball so well. He ended with 5 assists tonight. And then they got 10 from Jalen Horton, his first game. And he missed that first little bunny in his first offensive possession in the game. But after that, I thought he was pretty solid. He looked like he held his own.
Yeah, both Horde and Robinson look like they can play. Honestly, not to, demean Justin Jackson, because he really does seem like a nice guy, and I hope he gets picked up somewhere. He was a first-round pick for a reason. We didn't really see those reasons in OKC besides a few games, but Justin Robinson, he was great in the G League. I mean, he scored 15.5 points a game, almost 6 assists per game. He shot 40.5% from 3. The guy can play, and he looked like it today. And then Jalen Horde, he was a top 25 prospect coming out of high school in 2018, highly recruited by a bunch of colleges, and then he went undrafted in the 2019 draft. That's the exact same story, word for word, I could have said for Lou Dort and Moses Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So there's pedigree there with both of these guys. And to me, why keep playing Justin Jackson? Let him go somewhere else, maybe get on a playoff team if he can. He's not going to be in the Thunder's long-term plans. Maybe you find a diamond in the rough with Horde or Robinson. Maybe neither, but kick the tires. Young guys with some upside. See what they got. That's what happened with Moses Brown. Look where it went. That's what happened with Lou Dort. Obviously a different, that was from the very beginning of a season and training camp and all that. So it's a different setup, but still, you got to see what you got. And these guys look like they can play. I mean, they're not going to go out there and set the world fire. There's a reason why they're undrafted and in the G League and still learning those things. But they're not going to look all that awful either, because there's a reason why the Thunder signed them. And we've seen more than ever guys come over from the G League and perform well. The competition is better there now more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I like the moves by the Thunder. Just churn the roster, see if you can uncover anybody, and especially now when wins and losses aren't so important and you're exploring the roster, mm-hmm. why not do that? You talked about a revenge game. I think Svi came out on top as far as the head-to-head Hami versus Svi trade battle. Yeah. But this was another revenge game for Troy Weaver. It came from the very top of the Pistons organization.
Good
it
point.
Trickled down. Troy got his revenge on Sam Presti, but I think Sam Presti was – a-okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably maybe like a handshake agreement before, like, hey Troy, you owe me. tell your guys to go out there and
no
hit some buckets.
So and we should mention, like, a move like you saw today is another of what has felt like since they've come back from the All-Star break, one of many moves that is signaling what Sam Presti wrote about in the Oklahoman. Like, they are full on tanking. Like, they may win a couple games, like the Raptors game. Like, I'm sure that was one that Sam did not see coming, but like they are trying to bottom out at this point. Like, this is what you do when you're trying to bottom out. So, I mean, all year we've been like, are they too good to tank? And it was clear, yes. So they've adjusted. And this is what we're going to see most likely for the last 22 games of the year, which is exciting because there are 22 games to potentially use to fall further and further. And when I say fall further and further, I mean improve your chances to get a phenomenal player in the draft.
It was exciting the first half of the season to see SGA put this team on its back, to see Al Horford play so well when everybody considered him washed, and to see Lou Dort perform so well and continue to take a leap. And when they kept picking up those wins, everybody, you know, we enjoyed them. It was fun to see them win. It's like, ah, they still got plenty of time to get that top five pick. Ah, they still got plenty of time. I will say Ryan and I were kind of ahead of the curve. You know, when people were making fun of Too Good to Tank, me and Ryan were like, hey, look, seriously, we're kind of winning a lot here, guys. I don't know about this fade for Cade stuff. I don't know if that's going to work out. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you know, it's obviously shifted. It's been a clear cut. Okay, let's get serious about this. We need a top five pick. Now, I again think that these injuries are for real. Now, maybe they're being overly cautious with some of them and things like that, but I don't think they're just lying about injuries. That's not like the Thunder. They're not going to do that. Right. These are real injuries. Maybe they're coming at a fortuitous time. As far as trying to get a top five pick. But, you know, some of the guys, you know, Al Horford, that's a different case. But, again, mm-hmm. it makes sense on both counts for Horford and for the team. But I think that Raptors game, you know, I'm still upset about it. Mm. You know, and I'm just a fan. So I just can't imagine, like, because that was such a – it was such a weird dynamic because it seemed important. And winning that game felt so, like, kind of a kick in the pants, like, as far as, like, trying to make up ground to get a top five pick. And I think now since then, we've seen the three biggest blowouts of the year mm-hmm. for the Thunder kind of back to back to back. So I think now it's clear cut. Time is running out. You're on the clock. This is like the end of the movie, the climax. Like, are they going to make it? The season's about to end. Can they leapfrog those teams and get a top five pick? We'll see what happens. But the race is on for Cade, Mobley, Kuminga, and the two Jaylens.
Yep. And we talked early in the year, like, if the bench is going, like, the bench is where they're going to, you know, get beat pretty bad. And then here comes Teo, and here comes Kenrich Williams, and here comes Justin Jackson, and all of a sudden it was, and Mike Muscala, and it was, they were increasing leads, not giving them away. And I think we knew pretty early on, like, this is not what they had in mind. So it is funny to see, like, how much the roster has turned over just in like 2 to 3 months. So much has changed. So yeah, they are full on. They are about that life at this point. They are. It's so funny that it's happening like in the midst of a tournament run, like Jalen Suggs just had. Like,
yeah,
Evan Mobley has a great tournament, a great conference tournament, and a great tournament. And we are recording this after Baylor just undressed Gonzaga. Is it Davion Mitchell?
Yeah, Davion Mitchell. His draft stock is – sorry, I shouldn't be eating pizza while I'm trying to do this. I got like a little piece like right there in that throat.
I was wondering if we were going to get all the way through this without you having to acknowledge that you've been eating pizza this entire time.
What's funny is I feel like I've done a good job, and I'm done with my pizza. Now I'm just kind of like snacking on the leftover crust, and that's what got me, not the actual pizza.
but yes, continue, Davion Mitchell.
Literally a midnight snack. It is exactly midnight right now.
Absolutely.
Davion Mitchell, though, he's like a Lou Dort defender, but he's hitting over 40% from three at the college level. He's the team that just beat an undefeated Gonzaga team's best player on both sides of the court. Like, how does a guy like that not a lottery pick? Like, he's been projected in the 20s. But if you're telling me a guy is the best team's best defender and best offensive player, that's a lottery pick. I don't care that he's 6'2 with like a 6'2.5 wingspan or whatever it is. The dude can play. He's intense. He's a leader. I like him. I wouldn't mind if the Thunder's pick from the Rockets doesn't convey, if somehow they could get him with that Miami pick,
mm-hmm.
I'd be happy with that.
So tonight is the highest I've seen him, and I'm guess this is strictly on Tankathon. So I'm sure there are other outlets that might have him higher at this point, but they have him at 17. And I think I heard he shot like 28%. He was like in the 20s, his 3-point percentage 2 years ago, and it improved last year to like 34%, and this year he was like mid 40s. That's
he's
phenomenal.
Lou Dort, dude. He's Lou Dort.
He's really, really good. And like, if I'm not mistaken, he's related to Donovan Mitchell.
Is he really?
Is that right? The reason I say that is because Donovan Mitchell wore his jersey to the game tonight.
I don't know if that was just like being clever or if that's for real. I've heard might have been say that, but I thought they're just being funny.
I'm looking it up now. Yes, it is. Hold on. This is great podcasting right here. They are not related.
Okay.
They are not
related. I didn't think that they were.
I didn't think they were either until I saw Donovan Mitchell wear that number 45 Baylor jersey into the arena tonight. And I was like, huh.
It's too close not to, though. Like, if you're Donovan Mitchell and...
And his game resembles him. Like, he moves, like, his crossovers, like, everything about him on the offensive end reminds me, like, how quickly he moves and, like, gets into the lane. It wouldn't have surprised me at all.
If he was 6'5" instead of 6'1.5" or whatever it was,
yeah,
I bet you he'd be a locked in top 10 pick right now. He's just a good player.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I mean, look at Chris Paul. The dude is 46 years old and he's 5'8" and he's still one of the best players in the NBA. Davion Mitchell is going to be just fine.
He will be 22, so that would make him like the oldest player on the Thunder, it seems like.
That's true.
But yeah, he's a phenomenal player who's, like you're saying, has been rising on Tankathon throughout the tournament. He's a phenomenal player. They killed Gonzaga. So Oklahoma City moves up a spot tonight with some help around the league. Let's get into that. So they got a win from Toronto over Washington. They got a win from the Cavs over the Spurs. That was a big one. And then they got obviously the Pistons won because they lost to them. So it was just a solid night. I might even be forgetting one. Oh, Minnesota. Minnesota beat Sacramento.
Although I don't know how I feel about that one because I don't think there's much of a chance for the Thunder to catch the Wolves. And
yeah,
they have, you know, the Warriors pick probably isn't going to convey. And so, you know, I kind of like the idea of having that number 31 or 32 pick if the Rockets pass them. Mm-hmm. And I want the Kings to stay competitive and in it since the Thunder play them 3 times at the end of the year. I don't want them to get close to the Thunder. But all that said, this was the best night in a long time for the future of the Thunder's 2021 draft, that's for sure. Like you said, that Cavs game was huge. Hopefully they start feeling themselves a little bit and want to get some more wins under their belt. Anytime the Wizards or Raptors win is big. They're getting closer and closer. It's not so crazy to think anymore that they might have top 5 odds by the time all is said and done.
And they moved from 8-7 tonight. Oklahoma City did. They flipped with Toronto. So, despite that win, a few nights ago now, it feels like, you know, Toronto hasn't lost since that game, and Oklahoma City hasn't won since that game. So that really helps. That really, really helps. So within less than a week, they get that spot back. So
it was a wake up call for both teams on both ends.
No doubt. No doubt.
It wasn't the result that either team wanted is what's crazy.
Exactly. It was like, what are we doing here? Like, we should be doing the opposite here. So Oklahoma City is now 7. Houston is not that far from number 1 as far as worst record in the league, which is pretty insane given that they started the year with James Harden. They have the same amount of wins, 13, and Houston has lost one less game. So
I think that the Rockets are going to end up being the number one or number 30 overall, mm-hmm. which is actually good for the Thunder, because that means that they will have a straight up 47.9% chance to have the number five pick, because either the Rockets are going to get a top four pick or it'll be number five. There's no other choices. They'll be picked as one of the top four, or if they don't get picked, the Thunder get their pick at number five, which is great. That's right. That's kind of best case scenario for the Thunder.
Because if they finish with the worst record, the lowest they can fall is five.
Yep.
So like Brandon's saying, that is, I mean, if it's going to come down to it, you'd rather them not fall out of the top five and go back to like nine or eight. You'd want them to stay at five. So that will be, man, that lottery night. We might have to go live and like film reactions for lottery night, because that it's going to be an all timer.
That's a great idea. Oh, it's good. I'm telling you, I think it's the biggest night in Thunder history since Game 6 of the 2016 Western Conference Finals, truly. Or, I mean, I guess you could say July 4th, 2016. But if you're looking at the future of the franchise, you're talking about the Thunder could get two top five picks, or they could get like the number eight pick and the number 22 pick. It is franchise altering how those ping pong balls go.
I don't know if you saw last night, Tankathon, they run a periodic simulation of the lottery, and they did one last night and posted it, and it had Oklahoma City jumping to one and Houston falling to, I believe, five or six, which was just like, you can't ask for more.
That's the dream.
You cannot ask for more. Just the thought of getting one of those top five guys with your own pick, and then getting to pick again a couple picks later. You know who else has I was just looking at it last night. It kind of hit me that Orlando's in a great spot as well.
Oh, yeah, because they're already in the top five on their own, and they had the Bulls pick, the Bulls were supposed to be great after that trade. Because on paper, now they've got LaVine and Vucevic and Markkanen. So they should be killing it, but they haven't been so far. They did just pick up a nice win last night. I do think they'll end up kind of getting a little bit farther. I think they'll end up making the playoffs, or at least at the very worst, the play-in. Mm-hmm. But Orlando is going to get a couple of really nice picks either way.
Yeah. I think they'll have – They could potentially end up with two lottery picks, which is
they won that trade. I think
it could help Chicago, but I think long term Orlando's going to feel great about what they did.
Yeah.
All right. So Oklahoma City, 3-game losing streak. They haven't lost more than 3 games in a row all year. So now is the. This is the big one here. Do they cross that threshold, or do they win a game? Let's see. We're going.
It's the Hornets. It's at home against the Hornets
on Thursday, right?
Wednesday against the Hornets, then Thursday against the Cavs. Those are two very 50-50 games. The Hornets wouldn't be a 50-50, but now they're without LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward, so. You would think that would be one that the Thunder might end up winning, but they did beat the Pacers just a couple of nights ago. They were competitive with the Celtics for about 5 minutes, and they ended up getting blown out. But without Ball and Hayward, I don't know if the Thunder continue that streak or not. I believe in laws of probability, and at some point in a tanking season, I feel like they're going to lose more than 3 games. Mm-hmm. I think this is the time.
Well,
I
think you've got to think, no matter who they play from here on out, as long as Shea doesn't play, the other team is going to have the best player on the floor, at least to start the game. And I would argue probably the two best players to start the game.
Depending on Mr. Lugans Dort's concussion protocol.
Sure. Like you said, you reported May 15th, so we're going to hold you to that deadline. But yeah, Charlotte will still have Terry Rozier, PJ Washington.
Yep.
I'm blanking on the other guard. Devontae Graham. They have a lot of dudes.
They should be able to still win this game. The Hornets should, like you said, on the virtue of those guys and the fact that the Thunder are going to be playing guys that have been in OKC for about half a day now.
Yeah. So, and Charlotte wants to win the game.
Yes, they want to win the game. So
that helps.
And then, you know, the next night you got the Cavs who are looking pretty decent right now, and it'll be the second night of a back-to-back for the Thunder.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about what Darius Garland did to San Antonio tonight. They couldn't touch him. He had the first 9 points of the game and ended with 37. He was phenomenal. They couldn't no matter who they put on him, Keldon Johnson, Derek White, DeRozan, they all got toasted tonight by Darius Garland. He was phenomenal. So you've got to think, if they run the units that they ran tonight, if the Thunder that played tonight, if they're the ones that play these next two games, I think the Hornets and the Cavs can take care. I think they would look a lot like tonight. I don't think the team that played tonight is capable of beating an NBA team.
And after that, the Thunder play the 76ers, the Jazz, and the Warriors. So there's a chance, you know, that'd be eight in a row. If the Thunder don't beat the Hornets or the Cavs, they're not going to beat the 76ers or the Jazz or the Warriors now that Curry's back. I mean, Curry, Draymond, Wiggins, Oubre, I mean, it's not going to happen because the Warriors still want to win and they still want to make the playoffs. So there's a real chance here for
someone right now is screen recording that right there that you just said, that we are not beating the 76ers or the Warriors or the Jazz, and they are saving it to the camera roll, and they are going to unleash that if they pick off one of those games.
Here's why I can say that with confidence, because SGA isn't supposed to be reevaluated until mid-April, and all those games, the last game of that is the Warriors on April 14th. So that technically wouldn't quite be mid-April yet. So I can confidently say SGA won't be playing in any of those games. If SGA is playing in any of those games, obviously the Thunder have a chance to win any of those.
And given that that last game of that stretch is the Warriors, and we have interest.
Twice the motivation to lose.
We have interest in them winning that game. There is no chance Shea sees the floor that night.
Right. Yeah.
All right. We will wrap it there. We'll be back on Wednesday night to talk. Hopefully another fun Poku night and a Thunder loss against the Hornets. That is a 7 o'clock local time start. So we will we'll talk to you after that one, Brandon. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for staying up late for this one with your pizza.
Absolutely, man. Have a good night, buddy.
Thunder fans, thanks a lot. This is the Daily Thunder Podcast.